Brothers of America present the Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests, Henry Morgan, Minerva Pyers, Pete O'Donnell, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. When you bring your Ford back home for service these days, you'll notice something new. Oh, there's nothing new about the way the work's done. As always, your job's done by factory-approved methods with special Ford equipment. As always, it's done by Ford-trained mechanics. What's new is the air of suppressed excitement around the place, the knowing grin on your Ford dealer's face as he says, "Well, it won't be long now. Watch Ford in 48. It won't be long now." Ladies and gentlemen, in the May issue of Cosmopolitan, Jack Haley has written a piece called "I Knew Him When." The hymn Jack knew when is here at our microphone this evening. He's Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I'm certainly glad that you mentioned that story in Cosmopolitan. Jack Haley and I, as you may have heard, were boys together up in Boston.
Yeah, when did you and Jack leave there?
Wait a minute, that's the mayor. Thank you very much. Why did you? You had a straight line, didn't you?
Yes.
Does it cost anything more from AFRA if I ask you to read it again?
No, Fred, I can say it over. I just wanted to know when you and Jack left there.
Well, the day we heard that Boston was a city of culture and refinement, Haley and I left so they could keep it that way, Kenny.
Well, I guess they're still pretty strict in Boston, Fred.
Oh, yes, Kenny. You know, the first book ever banned in Boston was The Arithmetic. They found two improper fractions in the arithmetic. In your travels, have you ever seen a striptease dance done Boston style?
Oh, what is the Boston striptease?
Well, a girl comes out on the stage, Kenny. The girl has on an old-fashioned gown, pantalettes, a long shawl, and she's wearing glasses.
Yes.
The music starts to play a soft, tantalizing melody.
Yes.
The girl moves slowly across the stage, undulating as she walks. Well, just as she's about to exit...
Yes.
She takes off her glasses. The dance is over, Kenny.
That is the Boston striptease?
Yes.
The girl takes off her glasses?
Well, sometimes she has on a monocle underneath, but that is taking a chance.
Well, in Jack's story, he says that as a boy, you were a member of the Beacon Hill Birdwatcher Society.
Oh, that is true. I was a birdwatcher for years, but I used to watch birds, but I wasn't happy in that capacity, paid up as I was. I wasn't happy watching the birds. I finally had to get into the theater, Kenny, where I could hear them. Without benefit of Audubon Society. Well, enough about yesteryear, Kenny. Tell me, what is in the news of today? And be frank, Kenny.
Well, I guess the outstanding event of the week was Lana Turner's wedding.
Oh, they say that was Hollywood's biggest affair these many years, Kenny. For a corsage, Lana wore the Rose Bowl, they said. Saw it in Luella's column. Some of it lapped over into headers. There was so much about the wedding. And the wedding was so big, somebody threw Grantland rice at the bride as they were walking down the aisle.
Well, that wedding cake must have been a dandy.
The wedding cake was so big, the man and woman standing on top were real people, Kenny. I had midgets in there, but I was... do you think midgets would have been funny if a midget... They had on punch. They had tabs with the guest pictures of the program. He's not happy fixing his own stuff. He fixed mine, too. Well, they had on... These people had a pontoon, so they wouldn't sink in the whipped cream, Kenny.
Well, what about the honeymoon? Are they going to Niagara Falls?
No. Lana doesn't want to come east at this time. Mr. Topping is having them stand Boulder Dam up on end, so Lana will get the idea. What else is new, Kenny?
Well, last year, the Rockefeller Foundation gave away $23,413,615.
Gosh, only $2 more than Ralph Edwards. And why do you see if you can... Also, no refrigerators. And while you see if you can talk somebody into laughing at that joke, Kenny, you know, you get a little time to yourself, go around and prod the people, I think I shall be off in the general directions of Allen's Alley.
Well, what is your question tonight, Fred?
Well, from May 2nd to May 8th, the country will observe National Music Week, Kenny. And so our question, timely as it is, are you interested in music, and does music play a vital part in your daily life?
Shall we go?
As the button on the fat man's vest said, I think I shall pop off. Ah, it's good Good to be back in Allen's Alley, Kenny. I guess Senator Claghorn isn't taking any chances these nights. He's had a neon keyhole put in the front door. Well, I hope the Senator's in.
I say somebody put the digit to my door. Oh, it's you, nature boy. Well, let's go, son. As the two men said when they was inventing the pencil, let's get to the point.
But,
I'm busier than a bumblebee at a nudist camp.
Now,
yeah, I just got back, you know, from the Kentucky Derby, son.
Yeah.
My damper's down, my tail is dragging.
You wagered on citation?
I got counted off citation. I bet on a horse called Louder, Please.
Louder, Please?
As they was going to the post, I seen my horse was wearing a hearing device.
A horse with a hearing device?
Yeah, the race started. The battery in my horse's hearing device went dead.
Yes?
The jockey's yelling, giddy up, giddy up. The horse can't hear nothing.
God.
The jockey keeps yelling. The horse is turning around, squinting, trying to read the jockey's lips. His eyes is bad. It can't see no.
Oh, God.
Finally, the jockey gets down off the horse and starts running ahead with a little hay, hoping the horse will get the idea.
Well, how did the race finish, Senator?
Well, the jockey came in ninth. Louder, Please, finished tenth.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, I blew my poke, son. Confound that Kentucky Derby. I lost everything. It was embarrassing.
Embarrassing?
There I was in that Confederate territory standing in my Union suit.
Too bad, Senator, but our question tonight concerns National Music Week.
Yeah, I know. All the Republican candidates are picking their campaign song.
Oh, each candidate has a different campaign song?
Every one.
But tell me, what is General Eisenhower's song?
Maybe.
General MacArthur?
Show me the way to go home.
Stassen?
I'm sitting on top of the world.
Mr. Dewey?
I got a feeling I'm falling. I'm nobody's sweetheart now.
And Wallace?
All alone.
Does the president have a theme song?
No, son, he ain't observing the week until election time.
And when election day rolls around?
Harry's gonna face the music. So long, son. Go on, Harry.
I wonder if Mr. Moody is around.
Howdy, Bub.
Well, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about Music Week?
Why, thanks to music, I'm playing second fiddle today.
Oh, really? What happened?
Well, sir, when I was young and forth-witted...
Yes?
I plumped the organ for the church choir.
I see.
The organist was a young minx named Mona Boone.
Was Mona good-looking?
To me, Mona was as pretty as a pear orchard in full bloom.
Really?
Her eyes was like two gumdrops bobbing in little pools of buttermilk.
Uh-huh.
Her mouth looked like a gash in a freestone peach.
You were in love, eh?
My heart was rotating on Cupid's stick.
How did Mona feel about you?
She knew I was froggy in the meadow and couldn't get out.
I see.
We started singing duets together.
Duets, eh?
Genevieve, sweet Genevieve, the days may come, the days.
Say, that's very pretty.
I could keep it up all night.
Well, I'm...
Wasn't long before Mona and me was going around to weddings and funerals every night, singing duets together.
How long did you and Mona go around singing?
Why, about 20 years.
And you never mentioned love?
No, we were too busy singing duets and turning the music.
What finally happened?
Why, one night, after singing a mess of duets at a balloon ascension...
Yeah.
Coming home, I helped Mona out of the buggy.
Out of the buggy, eh?
And the top button, it popped off one of her gaiters.
Her gaiter opened?
I saw Mona's shin bone.
And?
I done the decent thing. I married her.
And you're still singing duets?
No, I ain't sung since the day of my wedding.
Why not?
I ain't had a chance to open my mouth. So long, Bob.
Let's try this next door.
Hi, about it, Chapman?
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum, say, you look angry tonight.
I am so mad I could turn him into a bread knife.
Something happened?
Tonight, early, Tallulah Pinkus is giving a bridge.
Yeah.
I am invited.
Oh, you went to the bridge game?
I am sitting there.
Yes?
East. Three times as roughing to shorten up as the front.
East did that.
And west with hearts is finessing.
Uh-huh.
For three games, I am sitting there.
Why?
Always who is dummy? I am.
You a dummy every game?
Finally, I am saying, Tallulah, darling, who is needing to come here to be a dummy? Tallulah is saying, you're right, Pansy. At home, you could be in a dummy.
Tempers, I take it, flared.
Insults back and throw is flying.
Insults?
I am saying, I'm your lorgnette's chicken fat.
Yes?
She is saying, your butler has a dialect.
This was some fight.
Well, in the seltzer water, I am pouring nail polish and coming home.
Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, tell me, what about National Music Week?
My husband, Pierre, is playing by ear 20 instruments.
20 instruments? Pierre is practically a symphony orchestra.
Confidentially, this is his ambition.
Of what?
To himself, Pierre is saying, someday Toscanini will retire.
Yes.
And I, Pierre Nussbaum, will conducting the NBC Symphony.
Pierre wants to be a great conductor.
With all his might and also his mane, he is wishing.
Well, has Pierre made any progress?
He's getting half his wish.
Half?
Today, Pierre is a conductor.
On NBC?
On the BMT, thank you.
Oh, well, we always seem to end up in front of Mr. Cassidy's house. Let's see if Mr. Cassidy is in. Well, Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. Due to circumstances beyond my control, I haven't been home for three nights.
What happened?
Well, I attended Phineas Fogarty's Flounder Festival and Fish Fry Farewell.
Phineas Fogarty?
Phineas found a giant pearl in an oyster.
Really?
Which is as big as a cobblestone.
A pearl as big as a cobblestone?
He's closing his fish market, leaving Third Avenue, and he's taken up residence with the pearl in Tiffany's window.
Oh, with the pearl. And Phineas gave a farewell fish fry, you say?
Me boy, it was a glutton's utopia. Everything was on the house.
Good.
I must have said 30 pounds of crab meat.
30 pounds of crab meat?
Yeah. I haven't been home for three nights.
You mean the crab meat?
Every time I start straight home,
yes,
I walk sideways.
Well, tell me, Mr. Cassidy, are you celebrating National Music Week?
I am, me boy. For years I have been a virtuoso. I play alto piccolo with Grogan's Grenadiers.
Oh, Grogan's Grenadiers.
Grogan is the Irish guy Lombardo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Every Saturday night, we play on the bandstand in the square.
What type of music do you play?
Grogan's Grenadiers play only one selection, When the Midnight Choo-Choo Leaves for Glockamora.
One selection? Well, there must be a reason.
Oh, there is no. At one place in the tune, the whole band can run off the bandstand into Kerrigan's Cozy Corner.
You mean in the middle of a musical number, the whole band runs into a saloon? Why?
On the music, it says one bar rest.
And?
The one bar for rest in is Kerrigan's.
And so once again, we come to the podium of Maestro Al Goodman. Tonight, Maestro Goodman does his bit for National Music Week by playing for the five DeMarco sisters their song, You Turn the Tables on Me. Girl.
So after thinking it over and over and over, I thought, I got what was coming to me.
The sting of a bee through the tables on me. On me, that is. That's no joke, son, when you turn the tables on me.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Say, Fred,
yes,
do you
Kenny?
Ever read the personal columns in the paper?
Personal columns?
Yeah, you know those little notices like, D.H., all is forgiven, where did you hide the meat axe?
L.W.
Well, how can D.H. be sure that all is forgiven, Kenny, until he knows what L.W. wants to do with the meat axe?
Well, if D.H. doesn't see his name in the obituary column, he's sure.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I saw a honey of a personal in the paper this morning. It said, F.O., come home at once. FFD.
A code message, eh? What do you make of it, Kenny?
Well, I don't know, Fred. If FO stands for Ford owner, who should he come home to?
Well, his wife, naturally.
No, Fred. FFD stands for friendly Ford dealer.
Oh, and FO is Ford owner?
I've got it. Ford owner, come home at once, friendly Ford dealer.
Right, Kenny. There's more here than meets the garage.
What?
This message makes sense.
Well, sure it makes sense, Fred. The Ford dealer has special servicing equipment and can give you genuine Ford parts. And his Ford-trained mechanics use factory-approved methods, so they can put a Ford in tip-top shape promptly and economically.
Kenny, old boy, something tells me that you put that personal notice in the paper.
No, Fred, I'm sure the notice was put in by some homesick Ford. Fords will do almost anything to get real Ford service.
Well, the time has come to say goodnight, folks. Thanks a lot for listening. Next week, our guest will be the chef in charge of the Breakfast Club, Don McNeil. Thank you and goodnight.
Wait a minute, Fred, this isn't the end of the program. We've got 15 minutes to go.
Well, I'm sorry, Kenny, but we're through. I didn't finish writing the script this week.
You didn't finish the script? What happened?
Well, a lot of things happened, Kenny. Last Thursday night, I'll tell you, I was sitting home writing the program. I was sitting there... That finishes Senator Claghorn's routine. Now I have to find a place to mention Jack Eigen and some jokes for Titus Moody. First line is, howdy, bub. Let me see what we'll go after. Oh, the door. Every time I start to write the program, somebody's at the door. Coming.
Good evening, sir. Could I see the lady of the house?
Henry Morgan. Henry, what is this? Could I see the lady of the house?
Well, it's part of my job, Fred.
Henry, you mean besides doing your radio program every week for Rave Cream Shampoo?
In my spare time, the sponsor makes me peddle the stuff.
But Henry...
You see, Fred, there's a clause in my contract. When you look at the contract, you can't see it, but if you hold it up to the light, the clause comes through.
How do you like that?
Oh, I get that darndest radio contract. Remember last year selling those razor blades from a pushcart? This year going from house to house with a shampoo? Why, my neck is always wet from demonstrations.
Look, Henry, you don't have to go around hawking this foam.
Well, it isn't peddling the shampoo Did I go too fast?
That old pushcart background of yours.
It isn't, frankly, the peddling the shampoo that burns me up.
No.
No, it's the other chores the sponsor has me doing.
Other chores?
Yeah, every morning I have to be at the sponsor's office at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock for what?
Well, first I have to get the Energene and clean all the ink spots off his blotter.
No kidding.
Yeah. Then I pick out the old Dixie cups that have been squeezed together and block them back into shape. And if a Dixie cup leaks, I light a candle and drop a blob of wax over the hole.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. Next, I oil the sponsor's buzzer and write out his cliches for the day.
Oh, the cliches?
You know those tired expressions that all businessmen use. Check. Let's get on the ball. I'll buy that. Hold everything. I just got a flash.
Well,
write that stuff.
You write it for the sponsor. What else do you do at the office, Henry?
Well, at 9 o'clock, I put on short pants and start blowing spitballs on the office boy.
Oh, it's 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. At 12 o'clock, I get the sponsor his lunch.
What does he eat?
Well, the sponsor's too busy to go out himself, so I take his stomach down to the drugstore.
Oh, and after lunch?
After, I put on my white coat, take my big plastic paddle, and go down into the laboratory and start mixing.
Mixing what?
The Rave Cream Shampoo.
Henry, you have to make the shampoo, too?
I'm in the vat until 6 o'clock. That's third. Then 3 nights a week, the sponsor and I follow Lucy Monroe around.
Follow Lucy Monroe for what?
Well, wherever Lucy Monroe goes, she always sings the Star Spangled Banner.
I know.
Well, when the men take off their hats...
Yes?
I throw dirt in their hair.
While you are throwing dirt in their hair...
The sponsor runs through the crowd selling shampoo.
Henry, you don't have to take this stuff from any sponsor. I heard your program last week. It was great.
Hey, do you like the joke I told about the zoo? One of the animals was wearing the new look.
Which animal was wearing the new look?
The new.
A definite yuck, Henry. A yuck. I heard it Thursday, and I heard it again tonight.
Yes.
It holds up well. Well, later in the program, didn't you do a burlesque of Mr. Anthony's program?
Yes, I call it Mr. John J. Morgan.
Oh, how did that go again?
Well, first you heard the organ.
And now we present the John J. Morgan Trouble Clinic. And here he is, the man with the solution to your problem, Mr. John J. Morgan.
Good evening.
Our first case, Mr. Morgan, is Mr. F.A. and Miss J.M. Here they are.
Mr. Morgan, my name is...
Please, no names. I have no desire to know you personally. I'm not interested in you as you. I'm only interested in your problem. You have a problem, I presume?
He certainly has, Mr. Morgan.
You are his problem?
Yes, sir. I'm J.M.
Mr. Morgan, I want to get married and she don't want
it. Yeah, tell him why I don't
want
it.
Well,
madam... Madam, if you insist upon interrupting, I shall remove you from the studio.
Yes, sir.
And I can do it, too. I'm strong as an ox. Remember that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And take your dirty hands off my shiny new microphone.
Yes, sir.
Now, F.A.
Yes, sir.
When did you propose to this toothless charmer?
Mister, last night at Hamburger Heaven, Mr. Morton, I was sitting there... I found her hand in me pocket, so I started holding it.
Now, F.A.
He proposed, but I turned him down. There's another woman.
Madam, one more interruption, and I shall sit on your lunch. And I can do it, too. This is my... As you know, this is my program.
Yes, sir.
Now, F.A., who is this other... so-called woman?
She was formerly my wife. She kept leaving me, Mr. Morgan.
Your wife kept leaving you?
On account of me table manners.
Could you elucidate?
Huh?
Explain.
Oh. Well, when me and the wife first married, we settled down in Hackensack.
No names, please. Especially that one. Continue.
Well, one day, my wife caught me eating borscht with chopsticks.
You were eating your borscht with chopsticks?
Yes, sir.
That's very interesting. How'd you do it?
Well, first, with me bare hands, I take the wet potato out, and I hold the potato between me knees. Then I wiggle me chopsticks around in the borscht and start licking the chopsticks. It's delicious. The mahogany comes through.
You claim that your wife objected to this novel method of consuming borscht?
She moved, Mr. Morgan.
I see.
I followed her. 3 years later in Philadelphia, I was dunking rhubarb in me pepper pie.
And your wife?
She moved.
In other words, F.A., every time you displayed your vulgar manners, your wife moved.
She moved every time until St. Paul.
What happened in St. Paul?
She caught me stirring me coffee with the wrong finger. Well, there was void. I hit her on the head with a flat iron.
And your wife moved.
This time, she didn't move.
She just lay there?
Yes, sir. The cops closed in, then I moved. Today, I'm wanted in St. Paul.
You poor, unfortunate slob. You're wanted in St. Paul.
That's my problem, Mr. Morgan. What should I do?
F.A., my advice to you is to go back to St. Paul.
But they'll give me the chair.
F.A., there's only one way you can escape the chair.
Yeah?
You must show them you've learned your manners.
How?
When they put you in the electric chair and you're sitting there...
Yes, sir.
Look around the room.
Yes, sir.
If you see a lady standing...
Yes, sir.
Get up and give that lady your seat.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Hey, Mr. Morgan, what about me?
Madam, my advice to you is drop a dead.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Henry, Henry, with material like that, you shouldn't be out peddling shampoo.
I know. My writers should.
Why, you're a big comedian. Henry, you do a radio program. You're not a peddler. Where's your dignity?
Oh, why should I have dignity? I'm not ashamed of the product. Listen to these testimonials.
Shampoo testimonials?
Sure. Here's one from the Bronx. I use Rave Cream Shampoo because... Signed, Brenda Gundelfinger.
Say.
Here's one from Hollywood. There isn't a day goes by that I don't get out my tube of Rave Cream Shampoo and reminisce.
Who is that from?
Guy Kibbe.
Guy Kibbe? His head looks like a Boy Scout's knee.
Yeah, well, Fred. I'm sorry, I gotta be scooting along.
Ah, back to business, eh?
Yeah, I gotta sell one more tube tonight to fill the quota.
One tube? With your personality, Henry, you won't have any trouble selling that.
Yeah, my feet are kind of tired. Say, maybe I can sell it here.
Well, there's nobody here to buy it, Henry. I'm the only one in the house.
Well, Fred, you wash your hair, don't you? Oh,
yes.
What do you use, Dutch cleanser?
Well, no, I've been using Dove. With the lather I have left over, I can shave and do the dishes.
Fred, have you ever thought of trying another shampoo?
No, Henry, I'm fine.
Fred, look at this tube of Rave Cream Shampoo. Feel it.
No, Henry.
Look
no.
How easy the cap comes off.
No, I can see
it. Let me read you what it says on the tube. Quote, no lemon or special rinse is needed. Fred, how many times have you gotten your head all lathered up and then you had to run down to the store for a dozen lemons to make a rinse?
No, Henry, I don't...
Fred, this is my last tube.
Oh, no, please.
But Fred, Rave Cream Shampoo contains lanolin.
What is lanolin?
Wool fat.
Wool fat?
Fred, have you ever seen a sheep with dandruff?
No.
Of course not. Have you ever seen a bald sweater?
No.
Fred, I tell you what I'm going to do. Try Rave Cream Shampoo once. If you don't like it...
I get double my money back?
No. If you don't like it, we give you 24 more tubes of the same stuff to teach you a lesson. Now, Fred, you're not going to turn down an old friend.
Oh, all right, Henry. All right, I'll try it.
Fred, swell. You're not only saving my quota, you're getting a shampoo you'll never forget. I'll get the water. This goldfish bowl will do. I'll put the goldfish here in the ashtray. Would you please bring the goldfish bowl over?
I'll take my coat off, Henry.
All right, put the towel around your neck.
Put the towel around my neck.
That's the old idea.
Wait till I get the towel.
All right, just put the towel around. It'll be perfectly all right. Now, I tell you what, next, I read the directions to you. First, you've got to wet the hair. Wet the hair. Put your head right in the... Get a lot of water on it. That's right. All right, now, rub small amount of Rave Cream Shampoo in your hair to get a good, rich lather. Wonderful. My gosh, it bursts in the lather. That's great. Oh, magnificent. You know something? You look like Martha Washington.
Henry, something's biting my head.
Biting?
It feels like teeth.
Oh, Fred, I gave you the wrong tooth.
The wrong tooth?
It isn't Rave Cream Shampoo.
Well, what's biting my scalp?
It's Pepsodent toothpaste.
Henry. Thank Henry Morgan for joining us tonight and remind you, ladies and gentlemen, not to forget the United Nations Appeal for Children. Give one day's pay to help provide food, clothing, and shelter for millions of uncared for children everywhere. Give one day to the children of the world so that tomorrow's world may be a better one. Send your contributions to your local Crusade for Children campaign or to Crusade for Children, New York, New York. Next week, our guest will be Don McNeil of the Breakfast Club. Thank you and good night. Good night.
This program came to you from New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.